Good morning. Hello, everyone. It's nice to be here. I'm usually there and I've got a guitar and someone's written words for me. Today I had to write my own words. So a bit scary, but I really do feel quite passionate about the message that God's put on my heart for this morning. So I really hope there's something you can take away from today. So I'm going to talk today about simplicity. Don't know if that's a concept you've maybe come across. Maybe it's something that you heard years ago or something that's not really on your radar. But it's been on my radar now for a couple of years and I've just been on a bit of a journey with it. So I'm just going to share a bit of that today. And before we get started, I just want to start by, I'm going to ask a couple of questions to get us started. Who in the last few weeks has spent more than 5 minutes looking for something like keys, a wallet, a phone? You don't have to raise your hand, but it's not like a name and shame game going on here. Number two, who has found that at the end of a day recently they've felt stressed or anxious because they've just been so busy or overcommitted? And this one's a bit of a killer for me, but who here in the last month has bought like a last minute purchase or something they actually don't need, online maybe, perhaps Amazon Prime next day delivery? Guilty. In fact, just 2 days ago for me. So if any of those questions you answered yes or that rung true to you, I think there might be something today that you can take home. And if we're honest with ourselves, I think that there is something in there for all of us. And I think there is something we can take home from today. And even if that's only a slice of cake, because we're having a tea party after church. See you there. So when I first came across the idea of simplicity, I have to admit, it didn't appeal. I had an image in my head of like a balding monk dressed in brown, like bald patch on their head, who lived in a place that he has a bed and a candle and a desk and that's it. And I thought, yeah, that's not for me. Not my lifestyle. But as I've listened and I've read more and I've delved into the topic, I felt really challenged by it. And since we read a few years ago The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by our pal JMC, John Mark Comer, God's really taken me on a journey. And I've just been looking more into what it looks like to live a simple and more unhurried life. I'm going to tell you a story. It's about a man who, upon graduating from university, got a job in a mid-sized company in a sales department. He lived just outside London in a one-bedroom apartment on his own, and he started doing really well in his job as he realised he was actually quite good at it. A couple of years go by, he has a girlfriend now, and there's a chance for a promotion at work. So he puts in a few extra hours, comes home a bit later, but it's okay because it's only until he's proved himself for this promotion and then he'll drop his hours back down. So he gets the promotion and it's more responsibility, so he actually just carries on working those hours anyway. And he's quite good at it and he gets a thrill. He can afford nice things like a new car, nice clothes. And after a few years, the thrill kind of wears off a bit and he starts feeling a bit weary at work. And he procrastinates on Instagram and he starts dreaming about big holiday to the Maldives. So him and his now fiancé save every penny that they can to go on an exotic holiday just to catch a break. So at Christmas, he puts in some extra hours for a hefty bonus and his fiancé does the same. And the holiday to the Maldives comes and it goes in a whiz. So he's back at work. He ploughs on harder and longer hours to afford their costly wedding. And a few years on, they start family planning so they decide that although they've got 3 bedrooms, that's not enough for them to have a bedroom, a guest room, a nursery, and a study. So he works ever harder and longer to afford a house that his wife's not actually sure that they need. Getting further and further engrossed in the corporate and commercial lifestyle, he wakes, he works, he returns late, and he sleeps in a repetitive cycle of consumerism. If only he could have a slightly bigger house, a garage for that extra car, a slightly better holiday, a bigger barn for his crops. Now, I may have tweaked a few elements to that story, but that is the story that Jesus tells us in Luke 12, 16 to 21. Jesus says, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what shall I do? For I don't have enough room for my crops. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Then I'll have enough room to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have stored enough for many years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. Not sure about you, but I can draw quite a few similes in my life to the retelling I told you just before of working late, working long, just a bit more. Then I'll be content. Where are we storing up our wealth? So with that story, it brings us on to this idea of simplicity and what it is. Richard Foster, who is a very good author, he wrote in his book, Celebration of Discipline, that simplicity is an inward reality that reflects in an outward lifestyle. Simplicity starts in the heart, a focus on Jesus and what truly matters that then radiates outwards into our lives. It's fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And as we do so, our hearts are aligned with his kingdom's cause. It's decluttering our minds, our schedules, and our homes to see what Jesus has for us and how he can use us to advance his kingdom here on earth. So often we are so busy and distracted that we miss opportunities that God puts right in our path. Even a seemingly holy life can be too busy to actually find genuine connection with God. Someone I know quite well who struggled with this very thing said to me once, I was too busy working for God that I wasn't spending time with God. I was too busy working for God that I wasn't spending time with God. He was bypassing his genuine connection with Jesus that he so longs for. But Ephesians says, it is by grace we have been saved, not by works. It is by grace. If I'm honest with you guys, it feels quite ironic that this week I'm bringing you a talk on simplicity, because in the weeks leading up to this, my life has been a bit crazy. I've been working quite a busy season in my job. I've been juggling church and family life. I have two young kids. They're 3 and 1. And let's just say they're needy. So there are times when I questioned whether I'm even the right person to be bringing you this talk, but I really felt encouraged actually to share from a place of honesty and knowing that I'm on a journey and I don't always get it right. And there are times where I overcommit myself and frantically rush from one thing to another or give in to commercial pressure to buy loads of things I don't need. Times when I don't do anything well because I'm doing too much in a mediocre way. But there are also times where I enjoy connecting with him at a more relaxed pace, where I can stop and engage fully with my children, and where I can find peace in my day-to-day life, just slowing down a little bit. So I've talked a little bit there about simplicity of time, and that is really important, but it's not the only part of simplicity. Yes, it's about ruthlessly eliminating hurry. But it's about the other things we do in our lives that we can sometimes use to replace God. So perhaps you are the kind of person, a little bit like me, where you overfill your schedule with social events to distract from what really matters, to dealing with what's in your heart, or just to make yourself feel a bit special and liked. Or maybe you replace God a little bit by buying things. And you buy something and it's really exciting, and then quite quickly it gets boring. So you buy something else, and then that thing is old and a new iPhone comes out. So you buy that. And then when that's out of date, you buy something else until you're surrounded by a mountain of stuff and a void where God could be. And that stuff, that clutter that we accumulate, is sat there, staring you in the face and stressing you out, wreaking havoc on our mental health. Research has found that an increase of stress levels if we're surrounded by clutter. And I found this to be quite true. In my experience, if there's clutter all around me, I find it really hard to focus. I'm not relaxed. And one study found that women who reported more clutter in their homes had higher levels of the stress hormone cortisol than compared to those who reported less clutter. It impacts our focus because we can only focus on so many stimuli in our surroundings. So it can affect our ability to think clearly. And it can also impact our relationships, believe it or not. The amount of clutter we have can impact our relationships. I mean, it's not that uncommon, is it, to come across a couple who are arguing about whose stuff takes up more space? Whose pile of junk is that? Even more so if you can't actually agree who's the messiest. Definitely Daniel. The continual desire to keep up with the Joneses and to buy every gadget on the market keeps us in a cycle of wanting more and buying more, never satisfied for long and always looking for the next best thing. And it looks in my head a little bit like this. So as you can see there, that's a video of me reaching for the cup that will finally destroy Voldemort. No, seriously. That is the image I have in my head of what clutter can do. Like, you buy one thing, it multiplies until you're surrounded and you're covered and you're lost in this mountain of stuff. That can sometimes be my head. That can sometimes be my house. That is where we need simplicity, or some call it minimalism. The Netflix duo The Minimalists sum it up like this. Minimalism is a tool to rid yourself of life excess in favor of focusing on what's important so you can find happiness, fulfillment, and freedom. Happiness, fulfillment, and freedom. And for us, we find that in Jesus. When we focus on what's really important, we can find fulfillment and freedom in Jesus. It's a deliberate decision to push against the cultural norm of filling our time and our homes that so often leads to stress and burnout and endless social climbing. Dan and I have, over the past couple of years, gone through a series of declutterings in which we've moved books, trinkets, clothes, toys, kitchen gadgets. And each time we do it, we feel more at peace in our own home. It's really great. Looking around, we aren't met with clutter, but with fewer, more meaningful items. And each time we do it, we get better. So we do it again, and we are able to get rid of more stuff. For Dan, and this probably won't surprise many of you, it's books. We have quite a large shelf in our lounge, and it was filled, and then it was filled again. So two lines, and then stacked on top, filling every single gap of our bookshelf. And for me, it's clothes. And you know those random boxes under your bed that are filled with like cards and old things? And I actually never look at them. They're just there gathering dust. So what purpose are they serving me if they're just there gathering dust? These things never satiate our appetite. Instead, they feed the beast of consumerism. Just a bit more money. Just a few more things, then I'll be happy and I'll have everything I need. But the reality is, once we've bought what we want, the novelty wears off surprisingly quickly. The thrill dies away, and then we are left empty and wanting again. And as you see in this video, we're swallowed up. We're lost in the things that we so desperately wanted. But not with Jesus. With Jesus, his grace is sufficient. With Jesus, he will give you rest. With Jesus, we can have life and life to the full. I want that. I've been on this journey for a couple of years now, and there are ebbs and flows. Just recently, I was in the throes of working from home, and the two kids were there, and I didn't give them the time and the attention they needed, and eventually I snapped at them. Parenting fail. And then I went to work unprepared because I hadn't given myself enough time to get the jobs done that I needed to get done. Work fail. And actually, after work, I was still like in a bit of a mad space, and I locked myself out of the building I was in with my phone, my keys, everything inside. And everyone who was able to let me out was on holiday. So I wasted so much time because I was just rushing. It's funny that, isn't it? You rush, but you waste so much more time. Had I slowed down, I would have known that the keys were inside. I would have propped the door open and I wouldn't have wasted so much time. But Jesus is really kind. He helped me prepare with my kids, and he challenged me to cut back so that I can do what I do well. And the days that followed were so much more harmonious. I was able to check in with myself. I was able to be a bit more present with the Holy Spirit, and it made all the difference. It says in Ephesians 4:2, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. I love that phrasing. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. I think it's really important. The Spirit can and wants to move in our lives if we'll only give him the space and the time to do so. And we've got to allow that. Give the Holy Spirit permission. That is an active role that we play in this. The passage goes on to say, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Again, Paul says there's a part to play for us. There's a part for us to play. And that is to put on your new nature, just like you might put on a jumper in the morning. There's a choice. And I think it's a constant one. It's not like one day you wake up and you're like, yeah, I'm just not going to buy anything on Amazon Prime anymore. Because I think if that were true, Amazon wouldn't be a $17 trillion company. I have good seasons and bad seasons, challenging ones where I feel like I'm battling against the constant wave of Instagram posts, marketing emails, billboards and ads. Do you know it's crazy? Like the average person is exposed to 10,000 ads a day. 10,000 ads a day. So it's no wonder that it's a challenge. You keep having to say, no, I don't want that. No, I don't need that. 10,000 times. But we can do it with Jesus. So that is a bit of a whistle-stop tour of what simplicity is. It's not about sitting in an empty house or finding some foreign, distant mountain range with a cave and sitting there and living in solitude or by yourself. It's about getting rid of the excess so we can focus on what truly matters. Before we finish, are we going to have a bit more time of worship? Yeah. Do you want to start coming back up? And I'm just going to leave you with a couple of things that we can practically do going forward from today to respond to this call of simplicity that Jesus has for us. Number one, declutter. If you want something practical to do this week to help you find more space, more focus, more time with Jesus, I want you to go home, choose a room, take a moment to look around. Are you faced with clutter, things you haven't used in the last 12 months perhaps? And just start taking a few things away. If you're struggling, just do 5 or 10 things. But keep going until you feel like you look at the space and it feels different, feels less cluttered and daunting. And then what I want you to do is take these things that you've taken away and just look at them for a moment and think, what can I do with these things? It's not about getting rid of them, putting them in the bin, because maybe you know someone who might really value that. And maybe you can gift it to them. Maybe you can take it down to a charity shop or a clothing bank, or you could sell it and use that money to do something generous for somebody else. Number two is to open your diary. So maybe this is where you feel like your challenge is. Whether you saw it on your phone or in paper, I want you to just open it and see if there are things in there that you can get rid of. Maybe there are things you're doing out of sense of duty. And there are things that need to be done, of course, but maybe you can ask yourself, is this important to me or is it important to someone else? And if it's not, maybe question taking that away. Less hurry, more space. And the third is Sabbath. Kerry introduced this concept to us a few years ago. Do you practice Sabbath? I find it so precious. Something that we've been doing for the last few years. Dan and I do it on Saturdays, and it's a real source of joy for us. And it's connection. It's connection for us as a family, and it just gives us a chance to connect with Jesus too. So maybe that's something you can consider adding to your schedule. Clear some space to have some stillness. And let me just leave you with this verse, Matthew 6:33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He will give everything you need.